Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of CookieCast. So in CookieCast, it's getting over, and WrestleMania, baby. That's right, WrestleMania. But this is not just WrestleMania, this is a two-night event, and this is part two. So this is the second night of WrestleMania, covered by the Getting Over crew. Before we get started, please do consider like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And why don't you drop your predictions somewhere? Comments, email them over, anything like that. Let us know what you think is going to happen. And if you beat us, you'll get a prize. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's get stuck into night two. Here we go. This is Getting Over, part two. From CookieCast.
Recording in progress.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It is part two of this year's annual WrestleMania Spectacular on the CookieCast Network. It's time for Getting Over, episode 62, part 2. Now, before we go any further, question time. Have you listened to part 1? If you have, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. If you haven't, whoa, just hit the pause button, skip back an episode. We'll reconvene here in an amount of time that I cannot specify right now, but we just come straight back. Listen to the first one, come straight back. Like you say, if you did, thank you. What did you think? Do you agree with what we said? Do you disagree with what we said? We know you probably disagree with Paul. It happens to us three all of the time. It's just his thing. He can't help it. But yeah, let us know in the comments below. See if you can outdo us on the prediction front. But for right now, we will go back to predicting the action, this time around from WrestleMania 40, night 2. And as I said last time around, it's once again a two-night affair. We're back with what we have for the second night's matches, thanks to Triple H for releasing the schedule in. Again, they've not upped and moved halfway through, a la WrestleMania 3. It is from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia still. But this time on April the 7th, we've gone through the first seven matches of the 13 scheduled on part one. Again, go check it out if you've not. But if you have, we'll get to the remaining six matches right now. And the first on my list for this episode is the Philadelphia Street Fight between The Pride, which for the uninitiated is Bobby Lashley, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, versus the Final Testament of Karrion Kross, Akam and Rezar. And to kick off this set of predictions, we've got a solid single star on each side and a tag team that have just been mashed together because nothing's really happening for them elsewhere. Both have had a slight name change. All of them have a point to prove. At least we finally have a name for Bobby and the Street Profits. For a while, we pondered, was it going to be the Hurtier Business? Could it be for the tasting fancy dress attire? Not like clowns and shit, I mean like fancy stuff to wear. Was it going to be the Shirt Business? Well, WWE have finally settled on the Pride. I'm not really sure. I like the name myself. It's marginally better probably than the ones we came up with, but definitely not as funny. And even if I do say so myself. But yeah, then on the other side of that equation, we've got Karrion Kross. His character hasn't changed, but he now has backup. Not only in the form of Scarlett, but also the Authors of Pain and Paul Ellering to form Final Testament. Now, this is a group and a name I can get behind. I like all of this. The look, the presentation, all of it. The match isn't for a title, but it does appear to be the launchpad for the latest mid-card faction on SmackDown. Whoever wins this match should probably be pushed to dominate SmackDown in the coming 12 months. And if not, what's the point? To raise the stakes somewhat, SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis announced that this contest would pander to the fans in the home of ECW by being contested under Philadelphia Street Fight rules. Now, nothing's been specified about the Philadelphia element of it. I can only assume that these are the exact same rules as a Sheffield Street Fight, with the addition of either more spreadable cheese or live eagles been like ejected into the arena. I guess we'll find out.
Cheese steaks everywhere. Cheese steaks everywhere.
Maybe they'll double bubble and do cheese-covered eagles throughout the stadium. Who indeed knows? I fear we may have been down a bit of a dark alley with that. So who's going to kick off then? Episode 2's predictions and give us a winner of the Pride versus Final Testament.
Pride wins.
Okay. That was very, very straight to the point. But Andy is first off and into the book. Obviously can't say he's off the mark just yet because we'll find out over the weekend.
I've gone Final Testament.
Okay. Also in the book. Any reasons for those two fellas?
I just presume they're going to... I'm hoping... I think it's more hope than anything. They're going to push Karrion Kross because they've beyond wasted him. It's genuinely infuriating. Every time I see him, I'm like, alright, what's he doing this week that's completely ridiculous? And how are they going to bury him further into the card that's going to make me more and more annoyed and becomes increasingly a reason why I don't watch it that much. So I was like, yeah, so he better win. If Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, who do not need the win, then time to give up.
Well, couldn't agree more. I think I'd said to you the other day that I don't know if it's a case of poor booking of Karrion Kross since he's joined the main roster, or a bit of that plus a bit of lackluster performances on his part since he's gone up to the main roster. But yeah, it feels like a massive ball dropped on this one, because when he beat Keith Lee for the NXT Championship, I know he got injured in the process, but arguably you were looking at a guy who could have dominated NXT for a year, 2 years, then arguably been moved up to the main roster to be a legitimate challenger to Roman Reigns for the Universal title at that point. And you would struggle to see him in a rivalry for the United States title at this point, I would say. But fingers crossed, if they do get the win in this, it could be, like you say, that sort of catalyst and that sort of springboard to get them to the point where the AOP are challenging for the SmackDown tag titles, and he does go into a feud with whoever comes out of WrestleMania as the US title holder and stuff like that.
I have also gone Final Testament. I have also gone for it for the reasons that you guys have said. They desperately need to get this faction off the ground. They've been causing a bit of havoc on SmackDown, but nothing solid as such. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits were, in my opinion, only put together because they literally had fuck all else to do with them. And it's not worked. It's none of it's worked for me. Bobby Lashley doesn't need a group if they do it right. The Hurt Business did work. They tried to recreate it. It's not happened. Karrion Kross, this might not be a popular thing to say, but genuinely think that his career has stalled due to the lack of Vince McMahon. I think he was very much a Vince guy, in the sense of not because, I mean, ultimately, yeah, he came from NXT, so there was a fair chance he was going to get buried anyway. But he's the big muscular guy. He had a very attractive young woman on his arm. That if that could not be any more Vince McMahon, like I don't know what else you could add to that. Like if it feels like
a lawsuit says there's lots.
Don't know if they're allowed to bring their toys to the ring, to be fair, but I'll leave that be. However, when thinking about the timeline of when things happened, he seemed to be missing at the point where Vince disappeared. And it was almost like they maybe had things planned for him, but then didn't come to fruition because it was maybe seen as a bit too close to the mark, given what was happening in real time as well. So I can't say I've read anything that confirms that. Obviously, don't know anybody there, but the timings of it feel very familiar. It's pure speculation on my part, but that's just my sort of 2 pence on it. But yeah, Andy, that leaves you out there on your own with a chance of a solitary point from this one. So yeah, no clean sweep on that one. We'll move to the second match on the card for night two of LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Now, during the Elimination Chamber match, it became apparent that AJ Styles was willing to fly halfway around the world to stop LA Knight from progressing to the World Heavyweight title match this weekend. Since that point, LA Knight has been on the hunt all around arenas looking for AJ Styles. Unable to track him down, he publicly challenged AJ to a WrestleMania match, at which point AJ appeared from nowhere and took out LA Knight once again. AJ then swore to stay at home, stay away from WWE until WrestleMania, prompting LA Knight to pay him a home visit, a la Randy Orton and Triple H from a good few years back. Then when it kind of looked like LA Knight might not be able to appear due to being detained, AJ then took it upon himself to finally appear on SmackDown the week before WrestleMania. And Master of Disguise, I mean, clearly LA Knight's been spending his time watching Scooby-Doo, dressed up as the cameraman in a lovely AJ Styles-esque soccer mom wig as well. Smashed his face in, shall we say, to not put too fine a point on it. So we've got a Mania grudge match on our hands. Nothing but pride on the line. Somebody's going to leave with bragging rights. I'm going to jump in because I have issues with this one. Not saying it's not going to be a good match, but AJ Styles genuinely has not been around. There is no reason we should care about AJ Styles at this point. LA Knight has been the proverbial stop-start, Willy, won't he, for the last God knows how long. Probably since Money in the Bank, I would say, was the sort of the big hit for him. As Paul alluded to a moment ago, can't even get in a feud for the United States title. That hasn't even happened. Don't get me wrong, he's had a match against Roman Reigns in that time, but he was never going to win that match. It was like just making up the numbers almost in the long reign. But I want LA Knight to win. He needs it. This is the exact kind of match where they will absolutely fuck it up and let AJ Styles win. So, for that reason, I'm going to pick AJ Styles and just hope to fuck that I am wrong on this one, but we'll find out. Anyone else?
I've gone LA Knight. Styles don't need the win. They just need to push LA Knight. So, I've kind of gone your theory, but not try to reverse jinx it.
Okay, you are in the book. Andy?
Yeah, I'm same. LA Knight. I think it's just... I literally just wrote LA Knight down, but there's nothing else. Just like...
But that, again, that's because AJ has not been around, like, for the longest time. They brought him back with the OC. They've binned off Gallows and Anderson to NXT. Meechin, Mayim, however, you know, whatever name she's going under this week, has just been left, for want of a better term, as a floater. Like, she's just on her own. Like, The only thing about that, though, I will say, is that I have found it funny that she keeps referring to him as Uncle Al every time that she tries to find him. But that's been a little bit entertaining, at least. Okay, Paul, are you an LA or are you an AJ?
I kind of agree with you. It's a weird. It's another one of those weird matches where it feels like almost not thrown together the last minute, because obviously it's been brewing since the last pay-per-view. But even you could argue that the seeds were planted at the Royal Rumble. It's one of those ones where neither of them can sort of afford the loss, really, because it kind of kills any momentum that either one of them would have. But AJ's got enough in the bank that he can afford the loss more, if that makes sense. So that's why I'll go for LA.
Very nice, Mia. It's me on my own. Okay. Yeah. He doesn't... You're right, AJ Styles doesn't need to win, which... And they don't tend to like DQ finishes at Mania either, do they? So there's no real reason for that. But yeah, again, that's exactly why I think AJ Styles. So we'll stick on that one. Now, we'll move on. Triple threat match time for the United States title. Logan Paul defending against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. It's time. We've got to discuss. After talking about New Day last time out, it's time for another one of Andy's favourites. Logan Paul. Whoa! Hear the excitement in Andy's voice. look at his face. But if you're not watching on YouTube, do it. Just to see Andy's lovely smiling face at the reaction to that one. But yeah, Logan Paul will be defending his United States title in his toughest test yet against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Can you believe he's had the title since October last year? That just seems incredibly bad. But this match came about following a bit of cheating in the Royal Rumble against Kevin Owens. At the Royal Rumble in the United States title match. And then the ending of the Elimination Chamber match in Perth last month. Logan Paul was eliminated by Randy Orton following an RKO. He then feigned an injury to stay inside the chamber and then laid out Randy Orton with the brass knucks to allow Drew McIntyre to pick up the overall win. Coincidentally, the same brass knucks that he'd used to cheat Kevin Owens out of the title a few weeks earlier. Logan Paul, being a bit big for his boots, I know, sounds nothing like him, right? Was mocking SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis for not announcing a match for him at WrestleMania. So Aldis booked him against two former United States champions at the same time to make this triple threat match. At the end of the day, there's going to be two former United States champions leaving WrestleMania, and one current. But which will be the current at that time? I feel like I'm going to take a leaf out of the football podcast book here and say, because it's Andy's team, he can go last. So to that end, Matt, where are you going on this one?
I'm surprised you didn't have to ask.
I've been trying to avoid this. I don't have to ask you. I clearly don't have to ask Andy. But I'm going to at some point.
And if you haven't got Randall, Keith, Orton in the book, then what are we doing here?
Okay. Point taken. It's written down in the book under your predictions now. So you can rest easy and hope that comes true for this weekend on Sunday. Paul?
I'll go the other way. I'll go for a Kevin Owens win, please.
Okay. Any reasoning?
No. if for nothing else, I think it makes sense to get it off Logan Paul so he can, you know, go away and do, you know, some more advertising or shilling for his brother who's potentially going to get murdered by Mike Tyson, legitimately. And I don't know, it just feels as if, like, it's as annoying as it is that he's in the company, it's even more annoying that he's as good as he is, which is the most annoying thing about it. If he was at least shit in the ring, you could maybe you see, he's just there for the cash. But he's actually taken to it surprisingly well, and yep. he always delivers with his performance, which is annoying.
One thing we haven't mentioned is that WrestleMania starts the run of premium live events, which are going to have the canvas sponsor Prime. So regardless of what happens night one and night two, every decision that involves a pinfall or submission in the ring is going to have a massive bottle of Prime.
I really hope that was like a bit of a, not a gotcha sort of thing, but that it turns out that the actual, whilst they will be on the ring, it's going to be like really, really small and in the corner, or like far enough away where it doesn't take over the majority of the main section of the ring.
I can only assume that you didn't see the announcement that he made on SmackDown, and the fact that if he laid down on top of it, it would be taller than he is. It is huge. We're talking like WCW levels of advert, like, you know, printing on the ring canvas. No, it is massive.
No, that's what I mean. I was hoping that was a piss take.
Oh, no. No. And I would suggest that Lee, because when they layer up the ring, they have different canvases all the way. Like, you know, they don't, it's not necessarily the same piece of canvas on the top for the entire night. So are we going to reach a point where he's got a stack of, say, six different canvases with six different flavour bottles advertised? I can see it happening. Absolutely. Yeah. The one thing I want to see happen, and I'm going for this, I've also gone for Kevin Owens, but I want the lasting image of that match to be him losing, laid out on top of his own advertising. That's the only thing that's keeping me going on that front. So I have gone for Kevin Owens. I'm assuming we're about to throw to Andy and make this up to a 50-50 split in terms of Orton and Owens right now. Or is Andy going to shock the world and not only pick New Day to win something in the first part, but is he about to do the unthinkable?
As I cannot utter the words, I will only say this. Can you put me down for a retain?
Oh, I mean, this feels all kinds of wrong, typing that in right now to the book. Are you sure, before I finish typing the name?
Yes.
In fairness, I said he's held the title since October. I'm surprised he hasn't managed to get rid of it yet by swapping it for something, because every time he seems to pop up on a video online, he's trying to trade it for, like, to hold, like, somebody else's title, or to drive a fast car, or whatever else he might be doing that particular week to try and promote his own energy drink / rehydration nuts. Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know where to go now, Andy. If I'm honest, that's kind of shaking me a little bit. I feel a little bit like I've been sick in my own mouth more than anything.
I've been sick in my own soul, so it's it's fine. I understand. I fully appreciate it. It's just
right. We'll move along. We'll move along from the man I'm mockingly say is Andy's favourite to a woman who is absolutely Paul's favourite. And we'll go to the women's title match of Io Sky defending against Bayley. Bayley is the winner of the 24 Royal Rumble, had the opportunity to choose her opponent for the show of shows. Io didn't see this coming. Bayley revealed that she understood Japanese and had known that the rest of Damage Control had been mocking her for quite some time. And as that revelation came, Bayley officially challenged Io to the match at WrestleMania. I think we talked about this before, possibly on the last podcast. That reveal was excellent. That was some of the best promo work that Bayley's had in months. months, and she's not been bad when she was leader of Damage Control. But now she's out there on her own again, and it was a great way to reveal. Dakota Kai kind of got mixed up in all of this, because whilst that was happening, she was away injured again with a bad leg. And when she came back, they played this angle of she was a little bit torn because she still wanted to be part of Damage Control, but she didn't want to let down Bayley either. And when it finally looked like Dakota Kai was about to side with Bayley, it led to a double cross, and Dakota instigated yet another beatdown on Bayley, who's now, say, the former leader of Damage Control. It might have been very route one as a setup and kind of ticking all of the boxes, but it's been really well done, this bit, for me. I'm quite happy about it. Bayley deserves a solid singles match at WrestleMania for all the work she's put in, not just since the Rumble, but in the years previous. I think she probably would have had a singles match sooner had it not been for COVID, because that was around the time that she was doing all the good stuff with Sasha Banks. And it feels like because of what happened with her, they never really got the blow-off from that either. So I think this is a good one for her, particularly. Will, though, she go all the way and take the title? She's not held a singles title for a while. Again, very much in that Becky Lynch camp. But will they cut off Io Sky's sort of seemingly smaller run and to let Bayley have her moment? I'm not sure. Again, let's do this again. So we'll take that leaf again, and as it's Paul's team, he can go last. So we'll start with Andy this time. Andy, have you got Io Sky or Bayley?
Come on, boys, say it with me. There's absolutely no way Bayley's not winning this one.
Okie doke.
Get it in the book. Come on.
Okay. Bayley is noted. Matt?
Yeah, ditto. I've got the same.
I have a feeling.
She hasn't had a WrestleMania moment, has she? Like, in the same as that, like the other four horsewomen of NXT, like that. Charlotte, Becky, and
Sasha.
Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks.
On that note, and I know she's left now for the time being, so Sasha actually won at WrestleMania, because obviously she had the first, they keep billing it as the was it the all? It wasn't the first all women's, obviously, but it was the night one match. WrestleMania main event won it, that she got with Bianca, but Bianca won. Charlotte won because she won the women's title that then became the Raw women's title. Obviously Becky's won because she won at Mania 35. Bayley and Sasha are the two left. It's almost like if Bayley wins, it's almost another Sasha Banks as well, on the basis that she's the one that's kind of left in the cold, and for that reason, you could probably tell. I also agree with both Andy and Matt. Bayley is in the book already for me. Now, Paul, are you about to pull what is now going to be known as an Andy and shock the world, or are you going to go with your girl?
I completely disagree with your comments on this one. I feel as if this is the sort of the feud that has just been like almost not forgotten about, but very much pushed to the back burner, and it's the one that like hasn't really been given as much publicity as the rest of them. And like of the two women's titles, it feels the lesser of the two, even though Bayley was the one who won the Royal Rumble. But I do think she will get the win.
Okay. I do think it's really poor form that since they've gone to the two-night format, they've at least had one of the nights with the women in a prominent position. And again, not naming any names, but you know, clearly somebody needs to have some involvement in a main event two nights running. Can't let the women have the spotlight.
That Cody Rhodes is a disgrace.
So selfish.
We know that. I'm not talking about Cody
Yeah, exactly. Don't get him started about Seth Rollins, kids. God.
Roman Reigns as well.
Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, again, go back and listen to the first part of this, and it'll all become clear.
Oh, trust me. They know what you're talking about, son.
I'm saying listen to the first part of this, Paul Sussman. You can listen to any of our podcasts going back to the beginning of Getting Over at this point in time. Okay, yeah, I'll take your point. So that is another clean sweep. But the first of night two for us. We've got two matches to go. Possibly the two biggest matches. Again, taking egos out of things. We've got the World Heavyweight Championship of Seth freaking Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre, and the WWE Undisputed Universal title of Roman Reigns defending against Cody Rhodes. I feel like to give them the kind of the time and the magnitude they deserve, we should maybe just take 2 seconds right now, have a little think about where we're going predictions-wise if you've not already decided, and we'll be right back to you before you can even say that, exactly that. Right back. 2 seconds.
Recording in progress.
And we're back. 2 matches to go. As I said, the first on that list, the World Heavyweight title match between Seth freaking Rollins defending that title against the Scottish warrior Drew McIntyre. And this one, you can probably tell, I am personally very much looking forward to, maybe even more than the Cody Roman Reigns match. Drew's been on a bit of a personal vendetta ever since the arrival of Jey Uso on Raw, and he's just got that little bit more bitter week on week on week on week. That particular demon was exercised on Raw when Drew beat Jey, oddly due to some interference from the Bloodline, as we mentioned on part one. But it was a scene very reminiscent of what happened to him at Clash at the Castle back in 2022. But this time, he was on the victor side of the equation. Drew finally booked his place in this weekend's event by winning the Elimination Chamber in Perth last month. But not before and after some top draw level trolling of one Mr. CM Punk. This has continued since the Royal Rumble. If you haven't seen it, simply go onto his page on the WWEshop.com and just check out the last two of his t-shirts, with the second of which features a checklist, and number one on that checklist is Injure CM Punk. There's been some fantastic promo work, particularly this past week, or within the last couple of weeks before WrestleMania on Raw, from CM Punk, from Seth Rollins, and from Drew McIntyre. I've very much enjoyed the work that they've all done together. Tells me that there's probably more to this story down the line. But there's so many variables. There's the length of Seth Rollins' title reign. He's the only guy to currently hold that iteration of the World Heavyweight title. What state is he going to be in after the match with Cody against the Bloodline the night before? CM Punk has been announced as the guest commentator for said match. Is he going to have an involvement? Obviously, he's got his bionic arm currently on. Is Drew going to continue just this god-level trolling of everybody else during the match whilst it's happening? Who knows? Is this his opportunity to finally get that in-person WrestleMania moment? Still not had it because they shafted him when they went back to a live crowd. Not only with the result, but obviously because he literally got pissed on from up high because it absolutely hammered it down and delayed his start that year as well. This is, however, going to be his third opportunity at Seth's title. Is it now going to be third time lucky, or will it continue to be the charm for the man known as the visionary, the revolutionary, Seth freaking Rollins? Again, I might skip out on this one till the end, so I'll let you guys take the lead on this one. Paul, do you want to go first?
I think in all of the like the podcasts we've done, I think whenever the World Heavyweight Title match has come up for discussion, I think I've had Seth losing it for the last six pay-per-views in a row, or the ones that he's defended it on. Or it certainly feels that way. So I feel like I should probably change my tune. But I think Matt sort of summed it up perfectly earlier on. Is it time for Seth to maybe take a little time away from the company? Maybe reassess, have some time with his wife and his daughter. Will there be involvement from the Bloodline of sorts on this one? And as I mentioned earlier, there's always the lingering possibility that neither Seth nor Drew comes out of this match as the title holder with Senor Money in the Bank lurking in the background. With his briefcase. I think the most logical outcome is that Drew win. But just regardless of what happens, just sign me up for more heel Drew taking the piss out of CM Punk, because it's been some of the best bits of Raw for the past sort of 6 weeks. So
particular highlight was when they were in Chicago 2 weeks before WrestleMania, knew CM Punk was going to be in the building, so got himself to Chicago a little earlier, specifically to go and get donuts from the shop that the whole AEW argument...
Muffins.
I did enjoy that. Particularly then enjoyed the fact that when he got there, realised they were closed on Mondays, and rather than let that backfire... he just spun it into another line, which was just top stuff. Very much enjoyed that. Okay, so Paul, just to clarify then, you are picking Drew. Do you want to specify any Money in the Bank shenanigans?
I do, but I don't know. So I'll just stick with a straightforward Drew win. I don't think it's going to be straightforward at all. I think there's going to be a lot of outside helping, shall we say.
Okay. Okay, you are down for Drew. Andy?
Yeah, I've got Drew winning this one. It's simple in the sense that I think CM Punk's getting involved. There's absolutely no way that's not happening, to have him there after the just barrage of abuse. But yeah, it's Drew's time to shine. Fits quite nicely with other stuff.
Good.
Drew,
you are in the book for Mr. McIntyre. Matt,
I've gone Drew McIntyre as well.
Loving this. Anything different to what we've said, or?
I suppose we haven't kind of touched on it, but we probably will mention it at some point. Obviously, the Clash in the Castle returning to these shores June the 15th.
And yep.
It seemed a bit more fitting that maybe he's got a belt this time than trying to get one. And it's in Scotland. And it's in Glasgow, which he happens to be from. So, you know.
Well, I suppose he's heir, isn't he, technically? But he's not going to get any nearer. The fact that that was announced in the week leading up to WrestleMania, Clash at the Castle returns. Again, I think we said at the time, after me and Matt had been last time, seemed like the perfect thing to keep the branding going, to keep it in place. They could definitely use it coming back over here. And seemingly they have. They're heading north of the border to keep that going. I have already seen online people point out that this time it's not in a stadium. It is an arena, still definitely not in a castle.
But it's not Clash in the Castle.
Yeah, but at least in Cardiff, the stadium couldn't get any nearer to the castle. Mm. I'm not geographically aware of Glasgow, but I'm Edinburgh, perhaps. There's definitely a castle smack in the middle. Glasgow, maybe if we have any Scottish listeners, maybe they could chime in on the comments below and enlighten me as to your battlement structures. However, just to round out the predictions, I have shock horror gone for Drew. It does play a little part into the bloodline stuff as well, because something that my old mate keeps spouting is that he keeps saying to Seth that he will make that title disappear. Well, there's no way they're just going to bin it. The way that he'll make it disappear is by getting it off Seth Rollins. So therefore, yeah, I have got Drew. I'm starting to worry about the Money in the Bank situation. I don't think they're going to do it at WrestleMania. For two reasons, because I think there's a lot of people seemingly expecting it, so I think they'll stay clear of it for that. The other reason is they've done it before. They've had the cash in at WrestleMania. It's not anything new. It takes it takes away from what Rollins did.
Yeah, but exactly. Is that not the perfect excuse to do it? On the guy that had the best cash in ever.
I have a feeling that they'll push it all the way to this year's Money in the Bank, because that's the thing, isn't it, that they've got it until the next Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and they've never let it go the full term from one to the other, and in theory have until the end of that night to cash it in.
Well, I think if you go back, I believe I actually covered this on the podcast last time, in that, is there a scenario where he goes to cash it in on the pay-per-view and someone steals it from him to stop him from catching it, and it's the first one that ever runs out?
Yeah. It's a possibility. I don't see it running out. I mean, who's to say that, because it's a match for the title or a title, anywhere, anytime he wants it, what are the odds of it getting cashed in during what will be the next Money in the Bank ladder match, because that's the maximum amount of time it could be. But yeah, just I don't see it being a WrestleMania. We've ended up hitting a clean sweep of Drew's all the way across the board, so I'm very happy about that. Who's to say that he can't add first British title holder to another one of my replica belts in the collection at some point? Hopefully. Right. It's time. All the marbles are on the table once again. Undisputed WWE Universal title match. Roman Reigns defending that title against Cody Rhodes. And you've probably got to think that this is Cody's last stand. Certainly will be whilst Roman's champion, on the basis of The Rock has already noted as such. We've had Cody win the Rumble 2 years straight to get to this point. And if he doesn't win now, will he ever? On the other hand, we've also got Roman so close to beating Hulk Hogan's record. SummerSlam would sort that out. And if that was WWE's plan all along, do they stick to it for the sake of it? Or do they go with what the people are actually wanting? And been demanding, both very vocally online and in arenas around the world. But as we've been talking about, what is this match going to look like? Will it be under Bloodline rules? Well, we all seem to think so. Or is it going to be a straight one-on-one? Even if it is normal rules, the fact that the Bloodline say they're not going to be involved, I mean, they've said a lot of things over the last 4 years, and the exact damn opposite has happened. If the Bloodline are banned from ringside, does that include Paul Heyman, seeing as he keeps billing himself every week as a non-physical threat? Is he going to carry the titles to ringside and then go to the back? Absolutely not. But as we know, this one, bet your house on a headline in night two completely. This has got to be that. But the final image from WrestleMania 40, Roman's still champ, or the fall of the Bloodline? Where are we going? There's some faces being pulled right now for those people listening along rather than being on the YouTubes.
I'll go first.
Go on.
I've gone for a Cody win. I think, like, I mean, if you're going to put Roman, you know, if you said that, so his reign would be as the longest ever, like, over kind of Hogan's, if it keeps on going through to SummerSlam. I just think that's, he's not that, you know, like, Pantheon kind of level guy. He's not that. So that I can't see him doing that. But, so yeah, I think Cody to win. I think, obviously, there'll be, like I said, you know, we think it's probably going to be the Bloodline rules. Obviously, Q, millions of different people making their way to the ring.
I'm surprised that Andy didn't stop you there to give it the millions. And millions.
But I have gone for a cash-in from Priest.
On that title?
On that title.
Wow.
Because it's that kind of like, oh, you've completed your story. Oh, here you go. Someone's kind of kicked you in the nuts, like, right at the end of it. Because it's that kind of perfect opportunity, because it's going to be, I presume, from the Bloodline. And even if even if there's a beat down after the match, I don't know. I just kind of get a feeling that it's that kind of bittersweet kind of, you've finished your story, but then your new chapters ended abruptly.
It'd definitely be a surprise, because that would again involve Priest switching brands. It would separate him out from the rest of Judgment Day potentially as well. I mean, I wouldn't hate that. It would be, I'd be very surprised if it happens, but that's the point.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm okay with that. Andy?
Yeah, I've got it down as it finally happening. Cody to win. Like we've all said, it's going to be lots and lots and lots of interference, but that's the sort of the culmination of the story, isn't it? Like, finishing the story has to be at odds against absolutely everything to still come out on top. They'll close out the broadcast with Cody with the firework finish that he's been after all this time, and just, yeah, I don't think there's anybody out there at this point in time that's not saying it's time. So it's time. It's there is that element of it's perfect. Knowing WWE, somebody in a boardroom somewhere is saying, but is it too perfect? And, you know, we could do this and that sort of thing. But yeah, people are screaming for it now, and it's probably time. I imagine at this point Roman Reigns wants to have a bit of a break.
He's on an extended break all the time anyway. As Paul pointed out, I think just before we came back on, he'll be gutted that he's got to work two nights in a row for the first time in about 5 years.
Three, technically, because he's doing SmackDown the night before, right, night one.
Well, maybe that's why Cody will win on Sunday, because he'll be so tired after doing three shifts. But I'll jump in purely for the fact that I agree with those guys, in the sense of I have got Cody. There's no way that the match isn't Bloodline rules. There's no way that he doesn't. He isn't pulling a Dusty Rhodes. He isn't pulling a Ric Flair by the end of it. And what I mean by that is that his blonde hair will be red, very very red, especially after what happened on Raw 2 weeks before Mania, and sense of The Rock beating him senseless with his own bus, and covering his weight belt in Cody's blood, ready to hand to Cody's mum, who he insists on calling Mama Rhodes, despite her never, ever, ever, ever having that surname.
Honestly, that segment went through me listening to him say Mama Rhodes over and over and over. I felt like he had hold of my spine. Every time he said it, I was like, huh. And it was like it was something that was stuck in his head and he couldn't get it out, because must have said it 50 times in that segment. But, you know, it doesn't matter when the segment ends, does it? It's not over for The Rock when the segment ends. I don't care what the producers say.
It was, and he kept saying, what was it? It was like, oh, look at your boy now. Look at your boy now. And that was the only, look at your boy now, Mama Rose. And he kind of, that was the only thing that he flicked between. But yet they managed to fill like 20 minutes of him basketballing Cody's face off the side of that American whiskey bus that he's rocking around in at the moment. But yeah, that leaves us in a position where three of the four of us have picked Cody to finish his story, which sets Paul up perfectly for him to just swoop in there and smash everybody's dream to pieces. Is he going to take that opportunity, or does he agree with us?
I think we've all kind of covered it in the same way but different, in that we're at the point now where, like you said, if he doesn't win it now, are we at the point where he's never going to win it, and they're just never going to pull the trigger on it? I also think they've run the possibility of, if they don't have him win it now, do they lose the interest of everybody who's like pulling for him, in as much as, oh yeah, he didn't win it, but oh, just, you know, back me again, and come next year, you know, third time will definitely be the charm, and everyone's like, yeah, I'm done with this now. I'd rather see literally anybody else have a go and stuff like that. I think the thing that's like, that's come out the most for me is the fact that up until this week's Raw, you'd have been forgiven for thinking that the main event of night two was Cody Rhodes versus The Rock, because it definitely had that flavour to it. Obviously, when The Rock did the beatdown of Cody and made him bloody, Roman Reigns wasn't anywhere to be seen in the building. And it's almost as if they've inadvertently made Roman Reigns a secondary part of this main event feud that he's the main part of. And it's a very strange sort of dynamic. In my head, Cody Rhodes will win, but I think he'll win because The Rock goes to hit him, but inadvertently hits Reigns. And in that beatdown from SmackDown from a couple of weeks back, there was a shot at one point where when they went to the outside, there was a production truck in the background that had the picture of Steve Austin and John Cena on it, and everyone was saying, that's not a coincidence, that's obviously been put there as a huge sort of, like, you know, spoiler or storytelling arc or whatever. And it was kind of backed up, because if you look at all the production trucks, they've all got the WrestleMania XL sort of graphics on and stuff like that, and obviously there was no WrestleMania stuff on that particular production truck. So I'd be very surprised if come the end of night two we don't hear the glass shatter, let's put it that way.
Particularly because it's a round number. Like, they like to bring out the surprises, don't they?
Oh God, yeah. I don't know. Obviously, like, he's nowhere near as much of a name as anyone else that's involved in the story. But is Dustin still under contract at AEW?
Yeah,
I thought he was.
He must be tearing his hair out right now.
Oh, like, surely if you're Cody, you're not going back to like Tony and just saying, listen, if it's money to get him out of his contract, I'll pay whatever it is that he needs to sort of pay his contract up. But
I would suggest that, I mean, even if there was a chance in hell of that, Phil has done a fantastic job today of ensuring that is the coldest day in hell ever.
I mean, he doesn't strike me as the sort of fella who's short for money anyway, but if he was to offer the sum of, say, what, the signing on fee for possibly the biggest star in Japan, followed by, you know, the biggest British star in Japan that have recently signed for that company, he might consider it more than he would have done 3 or 4 weeks ago. But as Matt rightly pointed out, people always build Triple H as having the golden shovel. But I mean, you can only assume that in the reconciliation process that happened last November, as CM Punk decided to have a little chat with Triple H, that that shovel has just been gifted as a welcome back bonus, and he's now using it to pour sand and dirt on top of AEW now every chance he gets. I particularly enjoyed the all the coverage last year of, well, yeah, there's non-disclosure agreements, and in his interview with Ariel Helwani today was very much, no, there's not. I don't want to talk about it, but here we go, boys. Like, that was like straight in money. Like, that was it. Yeah. Okay, so we've gone Cody across the board. So the biggest two matches of the entire weekend. Go on, Paul's got some.
One possibility that I did see that I wanted to throw out, I think I actually mentioned this to you, was the possibility that Reigns does retain, but then Priest comes out at the end, knocks out Reigns with the briefcase, then hands the briefcase to Cody.
But and you end up with, he's a bad guy. It will happen.
But and then you obviously have the turn of like Cody becoming,
oh, I see. Sorry, I remember.
As in then like obviously Cody becomes the champion, but the upshot of it is that he accepts the briefcase with the sort of the understanding that he becomes part of the Judgment Day. And you know, it's the fact that he's never been able to get over the hump as the good guy. So he's had to turn to the dark side to have to sort of, you know, finally get the big one. And I think I said to you, I think a heel Cody is probably coming. Maybe not round the corner, but there's only so much like sort of goodwill and good faith that'll go towards him for so long before the crowd will start to turn on him for being like the sort of the uber clean cut baby face, kissing babies, you know, handing out gifts and stuff like that. And I think he'll just naturally turn heel. And when he does, I'll be interested to see how he rolls with it, because I don't think he's ever had to properly embrace being a fully fledged main event heel yet.
No, because even when the crowd turned on him in AEW, he never really sort of fully got on board with that.
No.
Well, that is it. We've swept the board on that one. However, again, with the two, what will be the main events of that whole weekend. But there are plenty of differentials along the way. So in theory, we should definitely have a clear winner. However, all that remains on this podcast is for me to thank you boys very much for going through both nights of WrestleMania. Thank you to Andy for sorting us as usual, putting us on CookieCast. If you haven't already, please do give us a like, share and subscribe and all that good stuff. Share it with your friends. If you are listening to this before WrestleMania, as we hope you will be, leave us some comments, leave us some predictions. Let's see if we can't get a little, almost a mini league going, if you like, in the comments section. But for now, enjoy the weekend, enjoy all of the festivities that WrestleMania brings, and we shall see you next time to find out which one of the Cookie Cast getting over boys takes the title after a very, very heavy hitting weekend. So thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
So there you go, WrestleMania done and dusted. Two parts, two nights, all in the bag, and all for you to enjoy. Thank you for watching, thank you for listening, thank you for being here. Send predictions over. You can do that by going to the website and clicking the email button. Email your predictions to us. You can leave them in the comment section on the video or even on the audio. While you're there, click that like, share the podcast around, and subscribe if you haven't already subscribed. Right, all that's left now is to go and enjoy WrestleMania. So until next time, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode of CookieCast, please like, share, and subscribe.